talk a bit today about a series that we did last winter, sort of trying to think a little bit outside the box here in terms of how to push extension forward and reach farmers. As I sort of lead into that, I want to sort of frame context in terms of how do we communicate with farmers in the 21st century, and I'll cover a couple of surveys that have been conducted, and sort of looking at what farmers want, what extension specialists, agents, area specialists kind of need to look at, and how they communicate with farmers. Before I get started, I just want to acknowledge a large team of people here that helped make this series possible. This was a pretty coordinated effort. We have a large grains team at the University of Wisconsin, as you can see, spanning not only myself as a pathologist, but also the agronomists with Joe and Sean, and then our entomologists as well, all the way on through the machine systems folks with Brian Locke here. So quite a team we have there at Wisconsin. So just to get started here, there's been some numerous surveys done at various universities looking at, how is extension existing now? How do we need to change things as we move forward? And this is just one survey from Iowa State where they looked at, how relevant is extension still? And they confirmed in this survey that land grant extension systems are leaders in the unbiased and high quality data realm. Okay, so nobody's really going to dispute the fact that we push out good data. However, what has changed is that we do have some competition in this area, and that industry is close behind us with good, high quality agricultural data, and also media sources are picking up that information and pushing that forward. Whether that's good or bad, I think we can have an argument in either way. But what does extension still really do well? And again, we're delivering that unbiased data. Specifically, the survey identified pest management, agronomy, varieties. These are the things that we're still doing quite well on the extension side. Where we seem to struggle, or what was identified as a struggle in this particular survey, was to deliver information on the newest technology. We hear this a lot, at least on the pathology side of things. However, I would argue that now with these patenting arms at universities, a lot of times that flexibility we once had in new technology sort of has taken out of our hands, right? So that technology is picked up by that patenting arm, it's pushed out through them through licensing agreements, and so maybe it's not totally our fault that we don't deliver the newest cutting-edge information. Also, we like to have a lot of data to back up what we say. And it takes time to get that data, and that could be another sort of piece of the puzzle on why we maybe lag a little bit for new technology delivery. However, in the survey, they identified that the industry sources do deliver that technology, that new technology information. A lot of us know that we work with farmers that a lot of times the farmers are ahead of us with GPS and all these mapping tools and all that sort of thing, and the industry is really doing well pushing that forward. However, we do run the risk of having some bias in that type of information. Okay. Now, this came across my Twitter feed, I think it was last week. We've all seen articles like this. I'm, of course, in the Midwest, so this has been a hot topic lately with all the budget cutbacks and things like that. We're going to continue to be challenged with further budget reductions. I just see that as sort of it's going to keep coming down the pipe, and we're just going to have to keep dealing with these sorts of things and being nimble and flexible there. However, with that comes university downsizing, and with us extension people tied to usually a large land-grant university, that usually impacts the personnel. Okay, that's one of the first things that starts to get impacted. We lose folks, we don't fill those positions. So we start filling in gaps, and in some cases where it gets really significant, we're even filling gaps in other states. So for me, for instance, I get called a lot down in Illinois. I'm trying to fill in some gaps down there. And so this can often stretch extension personnel. Okay, we have to do more and more and more, which can reduce creativity because we're tired and exhausted, reduces time to offer valuable educational opportunities, but I will argue that it can spark creativity. I'm part of a group of pathologists that have come up with the Crop Protection Network. Part of the impetus of the Crop Protection Network was actually to coordinate extension efforts across the north central and southern regions to try to fill in some of these gaps that exist in other states. It also helped us streamline some of the information delivery that we give to our farmers so that we're not all duplicating extension resources. Here's another article that was published in the Journal of Extension. It's getting a little more dated now, it was published in 2010. But I like it because one of the things that it does is it tells us, you know, sort of points to the fact that farmers just don't learn in the same way that they used to. Okay, we're used to going out, maybe bringing pretty ground level information to a farmer and trying to change behavior in that way. But we're changing, we're dealing with farmers now who have instant access to information. They're on Twitter, they have a smartphone. Many of these farmers are highly educated. I know many a farmer that comes to the University of Wisconsin gets a master's degree and then goes back to the farm. Okay, so they're highly educated people. And that changes the way and how we need to communicate. Okay? One of the things that this survey identified were five really important points that the farmers indicated in the survey that they liked in terms of learning style. The first and most weighted was hands-on experiences. Okay, so we actually do this in our fall pest management update meetings. We do a lot of hands-on workshop things in the afternoon. We have morning intro meetings, and then we do hands-on workshops. They also desire demonstration, including on-farm demonstrations. They like working with a specialist and trying to solve these farm-related problems, and they desire to keep that going. They like us still to come to the farm. And I know that sort of seems to be dated, and our administration sometimes don't understand that, but physically showing up to the farm and helping a farmer out with a problem goes a long way. And I think those of us who do this type of work know that, and I think we've got to continue to hang on to that. And the farmers have told us that they like that. Okay? Of course, field days, and then they like open discussion. Okay? Now, one of the things we're doing at the University of Wisconsin is we're trying to improve our online sort of footprint. And that's one thing that the farmers identified in the survey that the specialists need to do more of is this online presence and focus on online programming. One of the things we have in Wisconsin is the IPM Toolkit. This has a newsletter tied to it. We push a lot of information from all areas and all disciplines through this IPM Toolkit. It's freely available. It's been a really big hit for us at Wisconsin. We get a lot of positive feedback. So we're going to continue to build this online presence. Again, farmers are really pushing us towards this. They like to see this technology, and this is sort of that, you know, bridging that gap between extension and the industry as well. Also, we need to be dedicated to interpreting knowledge and new technology. So while we may not be necessarily pushing these new technologies forward, we need to be able to help farmers interpret those new technologies and sort of dig through the biases that might exist from the industry as these new technologies come through. And that's sort of where we can fit in terms of trying to push this forward. And then we need to continue to build relationships and educational opportunities, bringing in the industry and farmers and specialists and everybody as a group to sort of solve these common problems. And especially the farmers indicated that they wanted us to focus on saving time, money, and maintaining a comfortable quality of life. So with these sort of topics in mind, our group developed an outreach series last winter called the Grain Management Considerations in a Low Margin Year series. This was designed to address these farmer concerns. Okay? How many deal with farmers with a lot of stress? Okay? Lots. And especially with the low grain markets, you know, that's been a huge, huge problem. Okay? We've all heard, you know, these stories with farmers with deep depression and that sort of thing. So that was one of the number one things that we wanted to do there. We also wanted to help increase efficiency. We wanted to increase profit margins. And we wanted to reinforce the fact that there are no silver bullets. One thing that happens when times get tough is people try to take advantage of that situation and maybe try to sell some silver bullets, especially on the pest management side where I work. Okay, this is a really common thing. And so we were trying to focus on that as well, at least from the pest management. Now, our outreach series was designed in a specific way to be interdisciplinary. We felt that we needed to get rid of the disciplinary box, and I think this is really important as we move forward in 21st century extension. We all like our disciplines. I like to be a plant pathologist. I'm sure the agronomists like to be agronomists, entomologists like to be entomologists. But having those silos, at the end of the day, the farmer really doesn't care. Okay, and we need to just eliminate those, work together as a team, and try to put together a program like this. And so that's what we did. We literally sat ourselves down in a room for a day and worked out the series, worked out the fact sheet, worked out the videos, all as a team. Okay? So the specialists generated content. The agents organized the local meetings, and then specialists and agents promoted the online content, which I'll talk about here in a second. And then our industry colleagues who worked with the medical provide sponsorship, and they also had an opportunity to deliver some of their new technologies during the lunchtime sessions at each of these area meetings. We focused again on unbiased, research-based information in these meetings, again, mostly generated from Wisconsin and surrounding states. And we used sort of a hybrid approach here in which we used traditional presentations, but we also combined this with an online presence and a set of videos. Okay? And we also developed a very specific fact sheet for the series, which is I'll talk about here in a second, and that is available in paper and also an electronic copy here. So here's just an example of some of the videos. We have 13 locations where we delivered face-to-face information. We worked with 15 county educators across the state of Wisconsin, and we had a combination of in-person and videos in these face-to-face sessions. So in other words, we may have had two or three face-to-face talks, then we may have shown a video, maybe of Sean or Joe, and then we would have gone back to some in-person videos. And we had a lot of positive feedback sort of mixing up the type of delivery, in fact. You don't want to go all video, and sometimes you don't want to go all in-person. It was sort of nice to mix things up. And the nice thing about all these videos is that they're now available on a YouTube channel here. So people are going out, they're downloading many of them that continue to be useful, sort of addressing this low-margin idea in the brain center. Here's the fact sheet that we developed. This is a 4-page fact sheet. Again, it was intentionally cohesive in terms of we all sat down as a team, and we thought about our disciplines, but we also thought about each of our pieces and how it fits into the puzzle. Okay, and so the first page of this fact sheet is for the person that can't read, you know, doesn't have a long attention span. Okay, maybe 30 seconds while they're drinking a cup of coffee. So the idea here is they pull the main points off this front page, and if they don't dig into the other three pages, maybe they took away the high points of the fact sheet. Now, for the person that maybe drinks two cups of coffee, wants to dig in a little further, we have the other three pages, which then drill down into the topics a little further. Got a lot of positive feedback on how we developed this fact sheet. Again, we're eliminating our disciplinary silos here. We're just forgetting that we're pathologists, entomologists, agronomists, and we try to write this as a cohesive voice and making sure that all the information fit together. How did we measure our impact of this series? We did have IRB approval for this series, and we had some surveys here, and I'll talk about some of the results of the surveys. We asked things about demographics, topic relevancy, applicability, and change of behavior, of course, which is what we talk about most in extension. And then we did survey 12 of the 13 locations. Unfortunately, one location did fall through the cracks here. So I'll show some quick preliminary results here. We had 455 total participants, which maybe doesn't sound like a lot across that 13 location area, but you'll see here in a second, we're meeting some really important people out of that 455 total. We did manage to get 245 surveys returned, which is about a 54% return rate. I told by our survey people that's a pretty darn good return rate. They'll take that. So they felt we had pretty good data there, and they were the ones that helped us analyze this type of survey data. And what was really interesting here is that, you know, 75% of the folks who attended our meetings were producers. This is very different than meetings I've been to in the last 4 or 5 years where, you know, a lot of times it's consultants, where, you know, I'd say 90% of what we have are industry and extension, or I'm sorry, industry and chemical and crop consultants and that sort of thing. This was almost flipped. Okay, very interesting. 75% were producers. And most interesting from that is that we had the largest turnout actually from the southwest part of Wisconsin, which is where we had our major grain production area in the state. So we're touching the major producers in the major grain area of Wisconsin. 12% were lenders, 8% ag chem, and then equally weighted with government crop consultants and agribusinesses. But again, very interesting that we were tapping a lot of farmers here. When we looked at total acreage impacted here, almost 500,000 acres in total. A large bulk of that was actually filled by other, and other would be the crop consultants, industry people. So obviously one crop consultant, you know, can cover 6, 7, 8,000 acres. in one fell swoop. But quite a few producers here with pretty large acreage impact as well. We also asked how relevant were the topics covered, considering what they were expecting to hear as they came into that set of presentations, and we were blown away by the results because about 99% of the respondents who fell in the very relevant to moderately relevant category. Okay, so they were finding value in what we were talking about, and you know, considering what their expectations were coming into that series, our series met that their expectations. Now we did drill down a little more carefully to get an idea how we sort of, you know, change behavior and dealt with this profitability and stress component. So the first three questions here we asked, you know, were basically about change in behavior. So are you planning to change your inputs, yes or no? Are you altering the way you think about input decisions? And then are you gonna change your marketing plans? Okay, and what was really interesting is a lot of folks, you know, 79, 80% here of the folks who attended, again, a large majority of producers were intending to have a change of behavior and change their inputs. Okay? That's pretty impressive that we were able to sort of make that kind of change in this particular series. And then, you know, 57% even said they were going to plan on changing their marketing plans, okay, which is pretty interesting. When it came to profitability and stress level, 94% felt that this series would help them become more profitable, at least in this low margin year or when grain prices are low. And about 56% felt that this would alleviate some of the stress on their, in their operation. Okay, so overall, we were really impressed by the impact of our series here. And just to sort of sum all that up, we did ask a question overall, did you find this meeting valuable? And we had 99% of the respondents say yes. We had one person say no. So there's always got to be one person in the crowd, but you know, out of 245 respondents, 244 said yes, this was a valuable use of their time. That rarely happens. I rarely see survey feedback like that. Some other impacts from the series, we have distributed over 500 of the paper-based fact sheets. That's not a lot. I'll argue that paper-based fact sheets are probably going away. We need to think about different ways of delivery. But this fact sheet was awarded one of the Extension Materials Awards here at ASA. And then our video series up to last week actually had over 1,800 video views, most of which are Sean Connolly's videos. So if you know Sean, you can, you know, make his ego and his head a little bigger. But at any rate, we also have been awarded an Extension Materials Award for the video series as well here at ASA. So we're really appreciative of that as well. So just to kind of summarize, and then I'll tie this back to what I talked about at the beginning here. In terms of our series, most people value the information on reducing on-farm input costs. They also value the information on improving marketing strategies that we delivered. They indicated that the speakers were high quality and delivered excellent unbiased information. They found the new resources very useful, and they're continuing to find those useful, requesting downloads and also looking at that video series as we speak. And then most importantly, all respondents indicated that the series increased their profitability and then also helped alleviate at least some of their stress in their farming operation. So, you know, just to kind of finish up here, I'll leave you with a couple of thoughts about how I think we need to be maybe changing extension a bit as we move forward. And of course, I'll bring back the points that I showed at the beginning here from the 2010 Journal of Extension paper here. But I'll add some additional thoughts here in that I think we really need to learn how to be efficient. Okay, I think we're going to continue to see budget cuts. We're going to have to be nimble as we move forward. We're going to continue to be asked to do more with less. But there's ways we can deal with that in terms of having a cohesive team, working with folks in your state and in surrounding states to sort of deliver some of this information. Again, use the whole team, agents, area specialists. This was really useful for us to sit down as a team. You think that was really, was a no-brainer, but we realized when we set this meeting up that we hadn't all actually sat in a room and worked out a presentation series like this in some time. And so just sort of bringing that back and getting together as a team can go a long way. And then get rid of those silos. Don't worry about the fact that whether you're an agronomist or an entomologist or a plant pathologist, because at the end of the day, a farmer really doesn't care. They have a problem, they need that problem solved, and if we can do that as a team, then let's get it done. And then coordinate your efforts, have a consistent voice. We make sure we try to do that. And again, I think paper fact sheets are probably, you know, you can make them into paper airplanes and send them out the door. I think we got to look at more online content. I know people, you know, their eyes sort of glaze over sometimes, but farmers really want, you know, online content, things they can pull up on their smartphones and look at as their tractors driving itself down the field. So we just got to think about some of these new technology advances. With that, I'm just going to acknowledge some more folks that actually helped us with this series here. The group at the UW Environmental Resources Center, this is a survey group that helped us with the IRB-approved surveys, helped us analyze the data. They've been instrumental here in trying to gauge our impact. And then our extension educators, 15 of them, in fact, that us specialists work with to try to coordinate all these efforts. So again, this was a pretty impressive effort all put together here. And of course, funding from UW Extension, USDA, and then also our integrated pest and crop management group on campus. With that, I'd be happy to take any questions, and I do appreciate your attention at 8 a.m. on a Tuesday morning. So.
Who helps you maintain the online presence?
So yeah, the question Jody had was who helps us maintain that online presence? We're fortunate enough to have that nutrient pest management team, and part of that team, they get money from our IPM grants every, I guess that's a 3-year cycle now. And part of that IPM grant pays for two people who, one maintains online content, the other one maintains our written content. So we actually do have people that are part of that team that are dedicated to those two footprints. And you're right, that can be an important hurdle that you have to figure out how to surmount is who's going to keep up with all that content. We are fortunate to have those people on our team. In the back of the front.
So in the Journal of Extension 2010 article, the top 5 ways of preferences for learning did not include video. Did you have other data that suggested video was a great learning?
Yes. Just out of there was some of the video and that sort of stuff. They don't value, you're right, they don't value it as high. We've taken Knox and other meetings where we've shown quite a few videos. But it was interesting, so this series, we tried to leave a couple of videos in here and there, and they actually liked that and accepted that pretty well. So there's probably some more careful balance there. I would say not to get too carried away. The other thing we know is that those videos can't be very long. 10, 12-minute. Some of our videos do go on a little longer than we had hoped, but there is some more intensive content in there. Probably one of the best videos was the one on weed, resistant weeds that our weed specialists that put together. That's a 12-minute video and just hammers the point. But I would urge anybody who's looking at videos like that to sort of keep them short or just first.
Masks are kind of dependent on extension agents to do area or county meetings, and we provide what they need. It sounds like you went through some deliberate on planning. Could you describe that a little more? You know, how far out? Our system is basically December through March, wrapped up completely. But can you describe what you did? Did you bring people all together in one room, and who did you bring in?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So Wisconsin, UW Extension has a fall all college meeting, which includes extension agencies coming from the surrounding counties. We all meet in the center of the state. And that happens in October. And so October of last year, basically we were sitting in a room just like this, and we were all talking about what our winter programming should look like, and this idea wore out of that group. So there was agents and specialists all together in that area. Now that can be hard to get those kinds of people all in the room together at the same time. But we, in doing that, and if you can be concerted about trying to have a planning meeting like that, you can really get folks to back it. Because I've had experiences that you've had where it's hard to sort of motivate people to sort of set up this meeting. Maybe you end up organizing, you know, X county over here and trying to get some of those things worked out. But
farmers, industry folks to this meeting, or was it just you and the committee?
We did not have farmers in there, but that would be an excellent addition to a meeting like that for sure. The agents felt like they were pretty tapped in and had the pulse of the farmers pretty good, but I would agree having some of the most impactful farmers in your state, you know, in the room would be also really helpful, or at least from the commodity boards.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
Just to keep on track here. Thank you very much.